This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with the weekly perspective for the week ending August 4th, 2017. Carmageddon for Hyundai, GM, Chrysler, and Ford. Wolf Richter, we often use this. Not every automaker is getting crushed, but most of them are. We've been on this meme for quite some time. Talked about channel stuffing where the manufacturers are showing great GDP because once they manufacture the vehicle, it shows up as production. Hey, we're producing stuff. Look at this. But they're not selling. And the car sales, of course, are now coming through for everyone to see. We know this because just of careful observation. So another indicator that we hear one thing but actually see something else. And let's all get distracted by the Dow Jones. Remember this milestone. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hits 22,000 for the first time in U.S. history. This comes from the economic collapse. My comment has been and remains that there is really a dislocation between this large number of the industrial average and what the physical economy is really doing. Obviously, if you're in the stock market, you're enjoying it. I do believe we've been in a long process of putting the smart money, selling their shares into weaker hands. And this is a process that takes quite some time. I believe that process has about ended. We'll probably see a final markup. The smart money will be moving to the other side, meaning they'll be shorting basis their cash in their accounts, use this margin, and we'll see the market come down. There's a propensity for market interactions to go to the downside in September and October. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's certainly overextended. Almost any analyst will tell you that. Will something happen in the fall or not remains to be determined, but my vote is it will. Interesting article in the Financial Times during the week. Cryptocurrencies are mirroring pre-crash banking systems. The article goes on to talk about what is taking place, stating that more than 8 years after Bitcoin's arrival, most of these principles have fallen by the wayside. And the principles being that it's a digital currency, which it still is, but which no single entity can manipulate and no third party would require to intermediary. Understandably, the pledge appealed to most of those who might describe themselves as hard money enthusiasts. Their view that uncontrolled money creation was the probable cause of most economic instability in the world and must therefore be constrained, Bitcoin offered them a perfect conduit for this vision. And now, 8 years later, Bitcoin spawned a litany of copycat systems, each with its own proper profiteering opportunity for early adopters. Let me pause there. This is my perspective. Certainly, I think Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of the others are definitely leaders. I think there are some that are on the up and up. I'll restate what I've stated in the past, which means there are going to be, just like in the dot-com bubble, several of these that fall by the wayside. And if you're really good at speculating, you're nimble, have at it. The others that are really viable and have great ideas and are backed by something that the market determines to be viable will move and move well, in my view. I certainly like the blockchain concept. I'm actually working in two fields, two areas, two arenas using that methodology. So that's, but this article is very interesting to read, again, from the Financial Times. So you wouldn't expect them to write much on this Bitcoin situation. And this week, peak energy and resources, climate change, and the preservation of knowledge. Article written by Theo Hinkins. Do we need mining quotas to prevent mineral depletion? Molybdenum is essential for the manufacture of high-grade stainless steels, but at present, molybdenum is hardly recycled. Yet, unless reuse of molybdenum is drastically increased, the extractable reserves of molybdenum on Earth will run out in about 80 years from now. The extractable reserves of antimony, a mineral used to make plastics more heat-resistant, will run out within 30 years. He goes on to talk about the extraction rate that takes place throughout the mineral sector, and that it would be logical to have some type of an agreement on the extraction of these resources. And he goes on to talk about many. And of course, the Morgan Report, we cover them all, precious metals, base metals, rare earth elements, the energy metals like cobalt. We actually had one of our best performers was a Moly stock. I'll stop there. It's an article worth reading. And I think it comes back to what the buzzword is these days about good stewardship and sustainability. We need to look out into the future and see what rate we're using up resources, what we're really doing. Are we building things with built-in obsolescence? Can't we build things that will last a long time? Are we really doing the best and highest for everyone? Of course, the answer, in my strong opinion, is no. You may tend to agree with that. And moving on to the precious metals, as I do each week to finish off this weekly perspective. So I'm Frank Holmes. I had a nice call with him earlier this week, and we'll be reporting that in the following issue of the Morgan Report, not this one that's being published as I speak. Surprise, gold prices have beaten the market so far this century. Very interesting. Trade-weighted U.S. dollar continues to plummet. Nice graph on this. I know this is a podcast. A lot of you aren't seeing the video version on our YouTube channel, but basically we all know that the U.S. dollar has been in a decline really since its inception in 1913, and it's accelerated since the tide of gold in August 15th, 1970. 71 took place. Gold price is trading above the 50-day and 200-day moving averages. For the technicians out there, that's a good sign. And of course it is. I'll throw in my 2 cents. We're above 1250 in gold and 1650 in silver, which is confirmation. And I do believe the worst is behind us with this big washout that we saw very recently. Additional to that, the commitment of traders has gotten much better over the last few couple of weeks. And the last graph I'll comment on shows gold price per ounce, precious metals fund, and the S&P. And if you look at this, you will see from the year 2000 going out 17 years, gold is at from the 100 scale. Gold is at about 500. The S&P is about 250, about half of that. And the gold funds are in between the two, basis the World Precious Metals Fund and the Golden Precious Metals Fund. And I'll talk a little bit about this issue of the Morgan Report. We put them out monthly, as you know. And of course, for the premium members, we do video updates on an as-required basis. This month, I started off talking about commitment of traders and what it means and how important it is and what you can use it for and what you cannot use it for. And I'd like to point out that I will not change my stripes. I've advocated from day one that everyone should have real metal to start a precious metals portfolio, and that remains true today. However, I'm showing you a stock that we put in the portfolio that's a producer. It's well diversified, and showing you what we do in these reports. This is a sensitivity analysis. This is based on the net asset value of this company and a change in gold price and a discount rate, the future value of cash. So if you look at, let's say, $1,500 gold, this stock right now is at $17, and the net asset value is 90% of the net asset value. So you're buying it at a 10% discount. These are very, very difficult to find. We found this one. The full report is, I think, 8 or 9 pages. This is just a couple of tables that go to the whole report. So anyway, coming back on point, here's your $1,500 gold. That stock would be at $36, which is roughly a double with a 5% discount rate. If it was a higher discount rate, like 10%, of course, it would degrade the projection, which would be around 26. But what I'm trying to point out here is that if gold is at 1250 today and it moved to 1500, you'd have, a fairly decent percentage move. But in this particular company with a 5% discount rate, you'd be looking at doubling your money. If you moved up to the old high of $1,900 gold, you would be looking at approximately 56 with that discount rate. So this is something that most analysts don't do, but right in the precious metals resource sector, we again cover all resources, copper, moly, everything I talked about, it's there. We do everything except the oil sector. Regardless, it shows you the sensitivity of this mid-tier company. This is a big company. It's not a joke. This is real earnings. And I'll add on to that, that one that we found very recently that very few knew about, we found it probably first, had a net asset value of about roughly 50%. In other words, it's selling about half of what its bankruptcy structure would be worth, its total net asset value. The stock's starting to move. It's not been picked up by any other analysts at this time, but there was a decent article in the public domain on the company. It seems that there are so many of those that people have a difficult time determining, the wheat from the chaff. So that will do it for this weekly perspective. To me, it looks like more of the same. Overall, if you look at the numbers, things look great for the mainstream. Jobs number numbers look very good on Friday. Everything's wonderful. But if you dig in and look under the covers, there's a lot of situations that are not as rosy as they appear on the surface. I'll be back with you next week.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.